Da meldet er sich wieder. Das heißt, wenn dieses Geräusch ertönt, dann will der Computer, dass man sich mit ihm befasst. Aber jetzt mache ich den mal aus. Jetzt nix. Aus.
Nix.
Nichts. Jetzt mache ich den wieder an. Jetzt hat er sich gemerkt, was in den letzten 4 Jahren alles passiert ist.
Radio Woltersdorf and Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2023.
Interessant, ne?
Live from the Super Booth 2023 from a mobile studio.
So, we're back here on air and we have 2 guests with us, Robbie and Astrid. So I was just stumbling around here and found them in their tent, which is very close actually to the studio. And I thought I just invite them and talk a little bit about their company, their new modules, whatever you do. Maybe you can just introduce yourself.
Sure.
And your brand.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah, Astrid, shall I do a bit of an introduction to?
Please do.
Okay, yeah. So our company is called Bella, and this is the 3rd time we've been at Superbooth. And our company started really, we're really all about open source technology, and our main product was a maker board, which it's like kind of like an Arduino programmable board where you can use different open source programming languages to decide what the board does. And a lot of people use that inside other instruments they build. So very much the DIY community. And we also sell a whole set of touch sensors as well, capacitive touch sensors, so people can integrate into their own instruments.
But talk maybe a little bit more about your board and your community. How is this actually happening? You said it's open source.
Yeah.
Where does the community take place, and where can we find you if I want to join the community, and what did people develop so far on these boards?
Yeah, well, yeah, so the community's been growing over the last 7 years now we've been going. And the company started off in London, but now we're all based all over the place, and it's really a global community of people making instruments and sharing them. And we have a huge kind of repository of instruments that people have built in the past, and lots of code sharing happening within the community. So on our website bella.io we have a blog featuring all these incredible instruments that have been built over the last 7 years. From people all over the world, really. So.
And then you decided at some point you're going into Eurorack modular. Or how did that happen?
Yeah, we couldn't resist. Yeah, and so yeah, our first endeavor into the world of Eurorack was with a programmable module, which basically used our main board behind there. So it was a module that you can program using Pure Data or Super Collider or C++. So if you have your program that normally you would run on your laptop, basically it was a way of having that inside your case, and you know, you can update it on the fly, and yeah, just have it dedicated to whatever the kind of sound processing is you want.
And how is it if I buy that particular module? Let's say, is it blank, or are there some pre-installed settings, features, programs?
We have lots of examples that come with the board. Yeah, so just now with that particular module is called Pepper, and we sell that via Fonk as a DIY kit.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It comes with everything you need to build the kit together, and once you have the assembled module, we have hundreds of different examples you can try running on the board. So. They range from like classic kind of audio effects, delays, and pitch shifters, and granulators, to more modular specific stuff. So like we have like a kind of looper and various different types of oscillators, drum machines, all that can be run on the board.
And how is that happening? Do the programs run all in parallel, or do I have to choose, like, is there a limited capacity on the board, or can I have a delay, reverb, and then just switch? And
There is a CPU limit, that, like, you know, you can only do so much processing, but you can chain things up. It's really, it's like, I don't know if you're familiar with Pure Data, which is this, it's a programming language that's, it has the same kind of spirit as modular synths, really. So it's like, when you make a Pure Data patch, you have all these different objects that you say, so you have an object that's like a delay object, and you have an audio input object and an audio output object, and you draw connections between all these objects. So you trace out the kind of signal path in your software. And then what we do is you take that patch and you can run it on this module. And so it will just do that. So you can chain things up in the patch that you design.
Indeed, not very familiar with open data. Yeah, that's what it is.
Pure data.
Pure data. But it sounds it's a very easy, accessible programming language. Is it like graphical?
It's graphical. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
It's a bit. It's like MaxMSP. Maybe some people are more familiar with that. This is the open source sister of MaxMSP that was born at the same time, but took the open source route instead of the commercialization route.
I love open source. So.
Yeah,
it's nice.
It's great. We love it.
And there's a huge community online there's a huge community online for Pure Data, and that's I think where a lot of the Bella community also gathers, is around the programming languages. But also the company was born out of us doing our PhDs together in the same lab. Yes, Robbie and I did our PhDs together, and the five founders, it's four PhD students and their supervisor, and we've grown a lot since then, haven't we, Robbie? Yeah, just little starry-eyed children.
That's
at the
amazing,
beginning.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it came out of us trying to solve our own problems as interactive audio people, going, well, Arduino is great until you get to a certain level, and if you want to do anything with audio, forget it. And so our supervisor had developed this board that was like, oh, it's fast, I guess. And then we started making it as a commercial project, thinking, well, other people also want to solve these problems. And so that's a lot of the community has grown up around that. And our commitment to open source software and sharing, it really comes out of this like spirit of universities, mm-hmm. of wanting to teach people and show people and be shown things. So that's really, I think, guided the whole spirit of Bella the whole time, is this idea of like teach me something and let me show you something. And so in the PD community, for example, there's already this huge community online, but there was very little that they could do with hardware. So Bella gave, you know, this community access to really low latency stuff, and all of a sudden you can build an instrument with sensors, which wasn't necessarily easily accessible before.
Sounds awesome. By the way, Bella, why Bella? Just asking.
I was just telling this story, you know. Originally, the original board, the computer underneath it is a BeagleBone Black, which is a particular embedded Linux system. And then we have our own cape on top and our own custom software, et cetera, et cetera. But originally, I think it was Beagle Low Latency Audio BEM. We're like, wait a second, we love Bella Board Talk. Let's just call it Bella. So yeah, it's nerdery all the way down.
Okay, maybe let's hop over to your new product, because that caught my attention, basically because it's flashy. A lot of lights in all kind of colors. What's behind it? What was the idea to develop this new little helper, or how should I call it?
This new module we came... Well, so but before this module was born, we've been selling these touch sensors, which were called Trill touch sensors, that come in all different forms.
We brought you presents.
Lovely.
Like, and these were really, you know, designed for the synth DIY community, people wanting to build their own interfaces for their instruments. So they're like really high resolution touch sensors, multi-touch, also, like kind of breakout boards where you can connect anything conductive to it to, like, you know, make very, very interesting interface designs. And so this new module really is the crystallization of the research we did with these touch sensors. And basically, we've created this module called Gliss, which is it's really all about touch control. We've taken the idea of touch control and pushed it as far as we can push it. And so this module, it can function as a slider where you have position and pressure sent out as CV signals. But then we also have lots of interesting functionality about gesture recording. Mm-hmm. So you can draw in patterns on the sensor.
I think that's new, huh?
I haven't
heard of it so far.
Yeah, I think CV recorders are around. You know, there are a few modules that do this kind of thing, but I think we like to think our approach is quite unique to this. And so you can basically just draw something in on the sensor, lift off your finger, and then it will repeat that pattern you drew in as a custom LFO shape, or you can configure it so you can draw in like an envelope that's triggered just once. And Astrid, would you like to
yes.
jump in?
It records both finger position and touch size, so however hard you're pressing on the sensor, which is really nice, having that dual dimension of control. And because there's two CV outputs, so the pressure sensor, the touch size is assigned to one and the position is assigned to the other, so you can control two filters, for example, or two features with one touch gesture. All of this really is directly related to the Trill touch sensors, where those are the biggest reason we developed those was there was no good capacitive touch sensors on the market. We were just like, what's going on? They just all kind of sucked. Yeah. And so we started developing those. And again, it was kind of trying to solve our own problems. Like, how do we make something that's really responsive for instruments? Because musicians are all about their hands. And so that's where all of that came from. And so it's the same technology in each one, just different form factors. For example, this one, the Trill Craft, is just 30 open channels. People make wild sculptures with this because you have 30 different conductive touch pads. And this one, the Trill Square, it's 15 channels going in one direction, 15 in the other. So it's an XY sensor. And they're very high resolution. And the Gliss module is exactly the same. It's using that touch slider, which is exactly the same size and shape as another Trill sensor, to take advantage of Trill's ability to really precisely track finger position and touch size, so how hard you're pressing on the sensor. Yeah. And it is kind of mesmerizing because the light traces your finger position and your touch size, and I don't know, there's something magical about drawing something in and then just watching it play back.
And I think, you hit on something there, Astrid, as well, that like, in all of our, we're all musicians in one form or another, and really this latest module is all about having expressive control of the other modules in your system. So like you can imagine a form of control over any kind of parameter there within your system. You can trace it out on the sensor and then you have it there to play back, and then you can stretch it or compress it down in different ways. And
I think this works really nice in live performances. Huh?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Probably pretty handy.
Really oriented towards live performances there. Yeah.
All right. I just got a signal from our guy here that we need to speed up a little bit, but I want to give you
because our next guest is waiting for us.
Where can we find you on the location here?
We're at booth number Z150. So just behind the
radio station.
Yeah, okay.
You have to come all the way to the back of the booth. Come and say hello.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for being here, for introducing your modules and your company.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.